You're listening to Rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Rockwired Radio Profiles with your host, Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com. Today, Rockwired profiles the band Hillbilly Vegas and their new release, Ringo Manor. Stick around for more. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at Rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and the music is out there. And today, we're giving it up for the band Hillbilly Vegas and their new release, Ringo Manor. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Steve Harris and Mitch Spencer of Hillbilly Vegas regarding the new release, and you'll hear all of that in just a few minutes. From their CD, Ringo Manor, here is Hillbilly Vegas with Shake It Like a Hillbilly. From their CD Ringo Manor, that was Hillbilly Vegas with Shake It Like a Hillbilly. Check out the band at hillbillyvegas.net. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Steve Harris first regarding the band and their new release, and here's how the interview went.
Well, it's a fantastic CD that you guys have out now, and now that it's out there for people to hear, how do you feel about the finished work?
We like it. You know, there were some things about it that we had pictured to be different when we went in with a producer. We'd never worked with a producer before, but his perspective was really cool, and at the end of the day, we ended up liking what we compromised and came out with. We're very happy with it.
And who was the producer you worked with?
We worked with Richie Owens, and Richie, he's produced Jason and the Scorchers. He did Enhance Yourself by Georgia Satellite, Dolly Parton, Vince Gill, and just a whole number of people, but that's his biggest credit.
Now, the name of the CD is also the place, name of the place where you recorded it, correct?
No, it's where we write and rehearse.
I see.
Our guitar player, John Reed, has a house out in the middle of nowhere, and I mean out in the middle of nowhere. And we started out there in a home studio that he's got out there, and it just ended up that's where we did everything. And it seemed appropriate to call the album Ringo Manor because that's where we created it.
Is that a nod to the Beatles drummer or something else?
Well, when Johnny was in college, he said he knew a guy that used nicknames all the time, and he said that was just something people started calling him in college, and as a joke, when I would put on our Facebook status what we were doing that night, I started saying, yeah, we're out at Ringo Manor rehearsing, and then pretty soon, you know, we have 4,000 or 5,000 friends on Facebook, and pretty soon everybody was calling it Ringo Manor, and we thought, well, you know, it fits, it works.
I see. And talk about how this band got together. How did that happen?
Well, Brian, we'd all been in and out of music at different levels of success for years, but honestly, I hadn't played in over 10 years, and I wanted to record a couple of traditional songs for my mother for a Christmas present about 3 years ago. 3 years ago this month, as a matter of fact. And I got with John and asked John if he'd play mandolin on there and all that. We got some friends together and went out to John's house. And in the course of working on those old traditional songs, we wrote a song. So we recorded it too, you know, I often say if you put a bunch of musicians in the room together, they're going to start a band, no matter what they say or think. And we just kind of ended up, you know, for fun playing together. We didn't really expect it to get to this level, but it just started out as a Christmas present for my mom.
I see. And talk about how music began for you.
I started out, I'm a California native. I come from the Los Angeles and the San Francisco Bay Area, and I was involved in theater. I was a big theater person, and then senior year in high school, my parents moved to Oklahoma. My dad was a preacher, and we came to Oklahoma, and they didn't really have a theater program in these little towns, and so having done musicals and all that, I kind of got in with some guys who played music. Next thing you know, I was in a band, but that's really how it started, you know,
you know, wow.
About 16 years old.
And what kind of music got you going in the beginning?
Oh, honestly, I'm a big rockabilly fan, to be honest with you. The first thing that I remember when I was a young teenager, the Stray Cats came out, and to me that seemed so cool, you know. And before that, you know, my parents always listened to a little bit of country music and things like that, so that was really where I was rooted in rockabilly and country and music like that.
And talk about the other members of the band and what it is you think each of them brings to the table that makes this thing work.
Well, I'll start with our drummer, Troy Hollinger. Troy and I have been playing together on and off since we were teenagers, and Troy's just a very solid, very does-his-job kind of guy, workman-like thing. He's not the fanciest drummer in the world, but let me tell you, when we got to Nashville and played, Troy gave us a foundation that they said is as good as any session player out there, and that's where it starts. And with John and I had known each other for years, but we really hadn't been together playing music until a couple of years ago, and we wondered why not, because we've written all these songs for the album, and John and I just have a chemistry. And John's kind of one of those guys that has so many influences and knows so much about music. He's like an encyclopedia. And as far as Mitch goes, Mitch and I have been together 20 years. And he and I experienced success together in the 90s with a couple of record labels and things like that. And Mitch just gives us legitimacy with musicians. I mean, the guy is just, he's the most solid, fantastic guitar player that you can meet. And he's just respected in Texas where he lives, and he's just one of the top players in this part of the country.
Now, earlier you said this band is your first time back into the fray in 10 years. What kept you away from music that long?
Oh, you get a bitter taste in your mouth after you spend so much time and sacrifice so much with family and money and give up so much to it. Mitch and I had been doing that for years, And finally, I just had enough. When we got dropped in the mid-90s, after so many promises, I decided to move back to Oklahoma from Texas and just focus on raising my kids. I had a daughter at the time, and then I had a son after I came back, but I just felt like I couldn't be a full-time musician anymore and be a full-time father as well, and I just decided that, I'd given enough of my time to music at that point, and I needed to give it back to family.
Explain, if it can be explained, the songwriting process within this band. How does that work?
Well, it usually starts with something John might be noodling around with, or Mitch even, you know, in rehearsal or somewhere. And to me, you know, I write some of the music, but mostly I write the words and melodies to the music that John writes. And it has to paint a picture to me. And I tell you honestly, I don't know how everybody does it, but when I hear a piece of music, it's almost like I can see the entire storyboard in my mind as soon as I hear that music, and it inspires something to me. And most of the songs that we write that made it to the album and that we use, they come together pretty quickly because it just paints a picture for me, and then I just start writing a story to it. And that's where it comes from. It usually starts with John or me, and then we work it all out after we get the basic structure of the song as a band.
Now, with that being said, what songs off of the album resonate for you the most personally, and why?
Oh, there's a song called Little Miss Rough and Tumble, and that's going to be our first single in the spring. And that was written about my daughter, who, like I said, I came back to raise her and spend the time being a father to her. And it just seemed like she grew up so fast, and that's what that song's about. You know, there's a song on the album called I Already Know, and that's just, to me, that's just a classic, you know, country swing-sounding song, and it's about experiences that John went through that I watched him go through and deal with, and things like that. You know, we've got some silly songs on there, and those are a lot of fun, but the ones that resonate to me are the ones that come from our personal experiences.
And how are live shows going for the band at the moment?
That is where we excel, honestly, Brian. We are such a live band. You know, we enjoy the studio. We enjoy the writing process and all that, but our favorite thing is to get out there and play. And we have, in this part of the world anyway, where we're at in the Oklahoma, Texas region, we have developed a huge and very loyal following, and we just love getting out there, and that's where we have the most fun.
What would you like people to come away with after they've heard this album?
I want them to know that we're real people. We don't do anything spectacular. We don't touch on subjects that haven't been touched on before, but the things that we talk about and the things that we sing about and the music that we make is real. I mean, nobody's ever going to mistake it for some groundbreaking White album or something like that. I'm not sad to admit, I'm just admitting that. But what they will come away with, I hope, is that we're real people. We talk about real things, and it's sincere.
Visit the band at www.hillbillyvegas.net. From their CD Ringo Manor, here is Hillbilly Vegas once again with Little Miss Rough and Tumble.
Had a dirty face. Daddy knew
listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwired.com is proud to present the Rockwired Artist of the Month, Nake Nulawaun, and their new release, The Definition. Armed with a potent mixture of beats and rhymes, Nake Nulawaun issues funkified jams such as Doubt, No Rest for Them Boys, and Airborne with honesty and conviction. Without a doubt, this is one hip-hop act that is ready at all times for anything. The Definition by Nake Nulawaun, Rockwired.com's Artist of the Month. Visit the band at Facebook or ReverbNation.com. Trying to grind a diamond in the rough ain't enough, trying to shine. I'm just trying to make a living, I'm just trying to survive. A 9-to-5 ain't enough if the music is live. I just want to... With a new name, a new sound, and a new direction, Rebel 9 releases their debut CD, The Razorblade Diaries. Armed to the teeth with a potent combination of sturdy songcraft and pure rock and roll, Rebel 9 is set to turn the industry on its ear with songs such as San Jose, All I've Become, and Lay My Head. You're just a bad... The Razorblade Diaries from Rebel 9. Visit the band at www.rebel9.com. Singer-songwriter Mark Anderson has seen all of life's ups and downs and has lived to sing about them on his latest release, Back from the Edge. Mark Anderson hits a nerve with a collection of gritty rock gems and backing from an impressive cast of musicians. With songs such as Dog on a Chain, Cat House Blues, and the electrifying first single, Truth Is, Back from the Edge will have you on the edge of your seat. Back from the Edge from Mark Anderson. Visit Mark at www.markandersonrocks.com. Rockwired.com proudly presents our latest weekly series, Jazzed in Blue, Profiles in Blues and Jazz, with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwired.com, every Sunday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Get lost in the sensual sounds of blues and jazz and get the stories behind it. Jazzed in Blue, Profiles in Blues and Jazz, exclusively at Rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwired Media is pleased to present a new weekly online radio series, Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary Native music. Hear the exciting sound of Indigenous America and Canada in a weekly two-hour show filled with exclusive interviews and music from Indian country's hottest recording artists. Aboriginal Sound. A celebration of contemporary Native music with your host, Brian Lush. Every Thursday at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. listening to Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles, exclusively at rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for Hillbilly Vegas and their new release, Ringo Manor. Rockwired also had a chance to speak with Mitch Spencer of Hillbilly Vegas regarding the new release, and here's how that interview went.
Well, like I told Steve, it's a great CD, and have there been any reactions to it that have surprised you at all?
The typical reactions are, because we come from, you know, doing rock bands back in the day. I really didn't expect you guys to do a country CD. It's kind of what the typical reactions have been as of late. But when folks here tend to pick out things they like about it pretty quickly. So.
I see. And a name like Hillbilly Vegas, I love the name, but what inspired it?
It's kind of just kind of a slang term, you know. You hear people refer to different shows that are all like "My Name Is Earl," things like. There's a mentality surrounding that whole thing. Just the Hillbilly Vegas name in general kind of circumstances that.
I see. And what is it that keeps you going in this band? What is it about the chemistry within the band that makes it, you know, easy to work with?
I don't know. Me and Steve have known each other for years, and it's really easy to sit down and work on music together. It always has been. It's one of those rare chemistries that seems to work out really easily for each one of us. I mean, I can throw out a chord progression, and within a few minutes he's got a melody and lyrics come together for it. It's just something that's always been really, really effortless for us. That's why I keep my head up.
And how did music begin for you?
I've been playing since I was a kid, probably 11 or 12, something like that. She should listen to records around the house, and I got an acoustic guitar when I was probably 12 or 13, something like that. And I started, you know, picking up records off of a little 45 player, little record player that I had. I taught myself how to play guitar.
And what artists specifically?
I grew up on 60s music, typically Beach Boys, Chuck Berry, Little Richard, stuff like that. So it was older tunes, and then more 70s, you know, classic rock, stuff on Aerosmith, Bad Company, Van Halen, you know.
And let's see, talk about the beginning of this band. How did that start?
The band existed for a little while before I joined it. I joined it in the last couple of years. Again, you know, Steve and I have done music projects for years together, and he moved back with his family to raise his kids back in Oklahoma, close to his folks. And I stayed here in Dallas and started, you know, a music career here in Tampa, play guitar for several different bands around town. And the time that him and I were apart, they put a band together, him and Johnny, and started doing kind of a more laid-back, you know, type of music. We'd always played hard rock tunes and stuff growing up, and we always had, you know, a melodic side to what we were doing all along anyhow, and it's kind of funny that he puts a band together with Johnny, and it works out to be, you know, just kind of a later version of what we had been doing all along. So it's kind of an evolutionary process. It's worked out really good for all of us. Our, songs are easy to come up with. The group works really, really well.
And talk about how the band comes up with songs. How do you guys go about it?
Typically, Johnny or myself will come up with, you know, a chord progression, something like that, that we sit around and play all the time. So, you know, coming up with new things, little bit parts here and there that we might be able to make into a song, or it's something we're always doing. And again, you know, Steve works with both of us pretty effortlessly, so it doesn't take all that long most times to sit down and work out, you know, songs. Every once in a while there'd be a part of something that doesn't quite come right away or whatever. You may have to work on it a little bit, but it's a good time, you know.
And what,
not all the work involved in it, really. It's more goofing around, having fun.
And what songs off of the album resonate for you the most, and why?
So I like Faces and Shades a lot. I like Rough and Tumble a lot. Just the vibe about it. They both speak about long relationships, family, things like that. Those are, you know, good qualities to have in a song. I mean, they're songs you can take them to heart and remember them for a while. They're good. They're real, authentic. You know, it's not some song about, you know, a guy getting his heart broke, or, you know, a lot of the typical kind of stuff that you see on records a lot. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, everybody wants a, you know, kind of a letdown song. Everybody wants a happy song, you know. The thing I like about a lot of our tunes is they come from kind of a family-ish perspective, which is a good thing. And there's some of them that are just funny, too. Rich and Gravy's a lot of fun, you know. Songs that kind of have kind of a Charlie Daniels, this story kind of bent to them. A lot of fun.
And in live performances, what songs do live audiences gravitate towards the most?
So far, live audiences have liked 3-2, Grits and Gravy. At the same time, Faces Change and Rough and Tumble, it went over really well with those groups as well. We seem to do a pretty good job of both of those types of things. The real up-tempo, in the face, you know, kind of stuff. Because we're kind of a kicking country band, you know, a kicking rock band that does country-ish stuff to a point. So that works out really good for us that way.
And since you've joined the band, what's been the biggest surprise for you? What's happened that you didn't quite expect?
But getting involved with some of the folks from Nashville has been a real pleasant surprise. And there's always, you know, industry people around that want to, you know, work with you alongside you or get what they can out of you at the time, you know, kind of thing. And how the industry seems to work, it swallows up a lot of people. Everybody we've had so far who's worked with us has been really, really good to us. So I'm happy about that.
And I know this is probably a little too soon to be asking this, but maybe it's not. I don't know. What's next for the band musically?
Well, we've got a whole stack of new songs we need to get worked out together. And spend some time on that. It'd be nice to... It's already time to start, you know, thinking about recording some new things. Some of that. I really would like to get out and play a little bit more than we have as of late. We have to do a show with the Kentucky Headhunters here a couple weeks ago. The weather, we didn't get to see them play their show, and then got rained out right as they were taking the stage. So, we've been told we might get to play some shows with them here before too long, so it'll be great to, you know, after having had some of them and all that, the Young Brothers are really nice guys, and they've been through a lot, you know. They got a lot to show us. It'd be nice to hang out with them for a little bit.
What would you like people to walk away with after they've heard this CD?
Well, I'd like them to walk away from it liking it. That's the first thing. I think it's a good disc across the board. I think it has a lot to offer song-wise, because there are a lot of different things on it. There's up-tempo kind of rock songs. There's ballads on there. There's some mid-tempo stuff. The album... It varies enough to keep the listener interested, I think, while at the same time not being so far side to side that, you know, the listener won't be able to get anything, you know, from song to song out of it. I mean, there are some reviews that we've heard out there where they don't think the album's country enough, or it's too rock of a record. But man, if you listen to the contemporary country radio in the last few years, and a lot of the bands are practically rock bands, you know, singer in front of them, and we're kind of going maybe more of a a different perspective on the same take. You know, I mean, we're kind of a rock band with kind of a country rock spirit. He's not approaching it from a full out standpoint as some of the things we've seen up there. Lake Works.
Visit the band at www.hillbillyvegas.net. From their CD Ringo Manor, here is Hillbilly Vegas once more with Hell of a Night.
In the corner was a no-name band playing a haggard song. Big city, I think it was, but hell, I could be wrong. I was drinking away your memory, swearing off good times. But them Jaeger bombs kept coming in, blurring up my hands. And we drank to freedom, good times of rock and roll. Do I love you, man? I ain't leaving alone. And baby, take me home. It was a hell of a night. We must have done it right. Cause oh my, my, what a hell of a night. By that early morning sunlight, I knew that I would be alright. From one rib roll with my head still so warm. Hell of a night. I danced every dance, I think about
going to do it for this edition of Rockwired Radio Profiles. A special thanks goes out to Steve Harris and Mitch Spencer of Hillbilly Vegas and to Rhonda Brilliant of Rainmaker Media Group. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Rockwired Radio Profiles is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks.
Our times are behind us, but let's not be alone. And the bottom line, and this is my